Hello, this is Pastor Mark, and welcome to Back in Five. It's good to have you joining us here today. We're with Pastor Sean.
Yes, I'm here.
Who concluded our series last week to the church at 7601.
Yes, I did.
And how you feeling, man?
I'm good. I'm glad. I was really happy to preach that message.
I could tell you were excited about it during the week.
Yes.
Checked in a couple times, and and you were... the word count was growing, but more than that, your excitement about the topic and the passage was growing, which is always a good thing as we bring it to the congregation, that it's impacted our heart and our life first. So take us through maybe some of the process for yourself as you went through that week, what stuck out to you. And
So, I mean, so the history of the series is we started it way back early in the year where we kind of we're trying to let the Spirit guide us in our thinking about what we would need to say to our church in an interim period of time as we head into a new ministry year, down a staff member. And so I'm trying to think through all these things, and the Lord's working on my heart to begin the series out of the book of Revelation, that we have this authoritative, supremely credentialed Messiah who speaks to his church, and what might he say to us. And the Spirit led you to talk about being a Spirit-led church, led Tim Shoemaker to talk about being a Word-fed church, Randy Hankins talking about being a church, unified and together with one another. Pastor Paul talked about recapturing the glory of God. And as I was thinking about how could we conclude this, I thought about what is the most important message the church actually has, and I think it's the gospel message. I think it's the story of all of Scripture. So when that came on my heart, when the Lord put that on my heart, even just a month or so ago, just started getting really excited about preaching this message. And so early in the week, even beginning last week when I did some, you know, initial work on the text, I realized that there is just way, way too much to say in
Can I
one,
ask you a question about
sermon.
The text?
Yes.
If it was me preaching the gospel, I think I would have, my mind would have started maybe with Romans or something. What led you to that passage? Is that a passage that you've enjoyed before? Is that part of, how did you get to that?
It's a passage that I think succinctly tells the different elements. I called it pixels of the gospel picture of what happened. So you have Paul writing to the Corinthians, who he had already been with for 18 months, and yet he wants to remind them of the things that he had preached to them. So he kind of goes point by point through what the gospel message is. And so that's why I went to 1 Corinthians 15, even though I did touch on Romans 1:16, and obviously the whole message was peppered with Scripture all over the place. And the reason for that is because even in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul is giving evidence of the gospel, he's saying all this is done according to the Scriptures. So it's the story of the entire Bible of how Jesus came, presented himself as the Anointed One, the Christ of Israel, and he became king of the redeemed people of God. So, I mean, there's so much to say. My only consolation in that it was a 57-minute message is that the Apostle Paul went into the synagogue in Corinth for 18 months every holy day and preached the same thing over and over again. So I thought I could take the liberty to at least have 57 minutes to talk about it.
Well, I think so. And you showed from the passage, too, that, you know, the importance of it, first importance, which is important, and something that you just said there about the repetition of speaking the gospel that Paul did. Sometimes I think for myself, growing up in the church, I get to a point where it's like, I've heard it, I know it, and maybe the goodness, the greatness is not affecting myself day in and day out. Or if someone starts to present the gospel, I'll start thinking, well, this is for the non-believers in the room. I think we experienced on Sunday, but maybe what would you say to someone about that, of what this means for the believer?
And I think Paul is addressing believers in 1 Corinthians 15. Obviously, believers that are kind of messed up and have a lot of disunity among them, but addressing believers nonetheless. And he starts off, I want to remind you. I want to remind you of the euangelion I euangelizoed you, the gospel that I gospel messaged to you. Because I think the power of that is in verses 7 through 10, Paul defines himself by the gospel. He says, I was unworthy, I'm the least, I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. The gospel redefined who Paul viewed himself as. And, it, you know, on his conversion experience on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, it actually says that, like, scales, like, fell off of his eyes, and he was once blind. But then when Ananias prayed for him, the person he was going to persecute, his whole life changed. Instead of persecuting Ananias, he was baptized by him. So it's a completely life-changing situation. I think we have to always remind ourselves of that, because I know my own sins. I know my own condition of my heart. I'm prone to wander, and I need to be reminded that I've been given the righteousness of Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me because of that gospel message.
I read an article today on Desiring God that they say this about preaching the gospel to yourself. It says, preaching the gospel to ourselves is a spiritual discipline that is both proactive and reactive. It's reactive in that we encounter temptation and frustration and seek to restock in the moment, or as we reflect back on our sin and circumstances, try to evaluate them with a gospel lens. And then he says, but it's also proactive in that it goes on the offensive, and we feed our souls in some regular rhythm before the events and tasks and disappointments of daily life begin streaming our way. Mm. And I think that that's so good. I don't want to grow tired of that.
No.
Because it's not just about a moment. It's not about a conversion experience. It's not about what happened and what the gospel meant to me before.
Yeah.
But it's what the gospel meant to me before and what it means now and what it means today,
tomorrow,
yeah, and beyond.
And obviously, I do believe, I touched on this a little bit in the sermon, but I do think there was an event in the past where God saved me. June 8th, 1996, I wrote it down in my Bible, the day I prayed to receive Christ. But that's not what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 15, because it's the word saved is a present passive verb. So Paul's talking about, like, right now, the gospel is coming to you in such a way that you are being saved right now and also into the future, like this ultimate salvation. You will be saved from the judgment. But it's a conditional clause, if you hold fast, unless you've believed in vain. So that's why you get these, you know, the once saved, always saved. I would believe that. But we would have to definitely hold on to those teachings. And I likened it to, like, being in a tug of war competition. If you let go of that rope before you cross the quote unquote finish line, you haven't accomplished the goal. You haven't held on to the rope. It's been let go. And I think that's what Paul is saying. I need to remind you of this. You need to hold fast to this. Continually let it define yourself. So this week we talked about, what is the gospel message? How is it life altering? And then why do we need to cling to it, or how do we cling to it as a church? And hopefully we accomplished that in 57 minutes.
I think you did, and we appreciated that message, and a great way to close off our series as we see that this is about now and tomorrow,
yeah,
and the future of us and our church holding fast, clinging to that gospel, living that out in our life. So I appreciate your work on that, Pastor Sean, and it's been a great series, and we hope that it's more than just a series. We hope it's the whole idea of it is that it would be words that direct and guide,
yeah,
and lead us as we continue to march forward. And so we hope you can join us this Sunday. We're going to be talking about communion.
Yes.
And dedicating a whole Sunday,
yeah, yeah,
for that, which we're excited about that.
Yeah, two quick promos that I'd say is, one, we do have communion Sunday this week where the whole service is dedicated to it. And then the week after that, the elders have wanted us to put together a prayer service on September 18th. So we really hope that you come to those prepared for communion, and then for the following Sunday, the 18th, to pray for our church as a church, for God's direction and leading, and just, you know, His guidance in our daily lives. The manuscript that I preached is online, so I didn't have a chance to give citations to all the scripture references. So I hope that you guys could consult that if there was something that stuck out to you, and hopefully you'll hide God's word in your heart. So.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, everyone, for checking in. And we'll be back next week with a Back in 5 about communion.
Sounds
should be
good.
Interesting. We'll
All
see
right.
you then.
All right. Bye.